So I was about 22 or 23, year out of college. I was in graduate school, learning about writing and teaching about writing. And I got sick. I got laryngitis, really bad case. I was sick for a couple weeks, and I was on antibiotics. And then I started getting better, and I went out to eat, which you may know or you may not know, but you should know. It's not a great thing to do when you've been on antibiotics because you're susceptible to germs that you wouldn't normally be susceptible to. And I went to a restaurant, I don't know if it still exists, it's called Loco Hombre.
Oh.
Still around?
Just
still
closed.
Just closed. Not a moment too soon. So I had a stuffed pepper and sweet potato fries. Two foods I have not eaten since. I got food poisoning. Really, really bad. Projectile vomiting for 24 hours. I mean, projectile. And I had been getting better, but then I wasn't better anymore. I got sick. I was sick again. I had to go back on antibiotics again. And eventually I got better, except my voice didn't come back. And it wasn't the same as when I would normally get laryngitis and I'd have this kind of deep, throaty voice that would be kind of cool for a while. This was more like up like this. You could barely hear me. I can't really imitate it because what it turned out to be was that I had a paralyzed vocal cord. Yeah, yeah. And I was teaching at the time in a seminar room. I needed a microphone to be heard across the table. It was that bad because if you know what the vocal cords are like, you have these two vocal folds and they come together when you talk and they vibrate against each other, and the tighter they are, the higher the pitch. So I had one that was working and one that wasn't moving at all. And it was like Bell's palsy when somebody has a side of their face that doesn't move. This was the next nerve over that controls the vocal fold. So there was some kind of palsy going on. And nobody could figure out why. To me, it seemed pretty clear that it had something to do with having been really sick and everything that preceded it. But doctors don't seem to think that way. They thought maybe it was cancer or, you know, it was just unknown etiology. So I was going to get CAT scans and all kinds of crazy stuff and seeing lots of doctors. And I was only 22 or whatever, and I thought I could bring all my questions to the doctor and get all my questions answered. And so I had this appointment with this MD, PhD, head of a department at a prestigious local hospital. And I had actually, I think, faxed in my list of questions ahead of my appointment. And he had no interest in answering my questions at all and very little time for me, and it wasn't a great appointment. Then the next time I went for an appointment with him, he didn't show up at all, and his office staff didn't know where he was, and I waited for a long time, and then I went home, and I didn't hear from him, and I contacted him, and he was very, wasn't so nice on the phone, wasn't apologetic at all about standing me up for my appointment, and at a certain point in the conversation, I should preface this by saying that, you know, this was like a health crisis. Nobody knew what was going on with my health, and nobody could tell me would I ever get my voice back again, and I was having this major experience of handicap, because when you can't make yourself heard across the table, your life is very different. So, you know, I was in a vulnerable state, and he used my illness as a reason to take the upper hand in the conversation. So I want to back up because this is sort of the end of the story, and I probably need to be near the end, right? Am I 3 minutes already? Okay, well, I just want to say that I'm already at the end. Shoot. Okay, well, I'll just skip the whole... Keep going. Oh, thank you. just want to say the interlude is that this. So the doctors were saying, "Stay off your voice," which was very frustrating to me because I really was, you know, like couldn't get heard. You know, people would stop listening when they couldn't hear me. And this friend of mine who had studied Sufism for a year, she'd been on this fellowship around the world studying Sufism, recommended to me that I take this advice to stay off my voice as an assignment from a Sufi master. So a Sufi master will tell a person to, for example, this was her example, eat with their non-dominant hand for a while, and that increases their appreciation of their food. So she said, just take it as though it's been given to you by a Sufi master, not to talk. So I just stopped talking. And at that point, after having struggled against this thing, when I accepted it, everything changed. Everything changed for me. And my my hearing just opened up in an incredible way, and particularly my hearing of voice, of people's voices. I got so tuned in to people's voices. It was like their voices were as clear to me as their faces. And I have to wrap up. So what happened with this phone call was I just got really enraged with this doctor, and we ended the conversation. I got off the phone, and I was alone in my house. I lived in one of those row houses in Charles Village, and there was nobody in my house. There might have been people in the houses next door, but I just started screaming at the top of my lungs, and my voice started to come back that night. Thanks. Yeah, and it came back fully within a week. So.